At the center of every great tournament, it is its prize trophy. And the iconic FIFA World Cup is here tonight, alongside with the global icon who has lifted the Kofta Trophy in 1998 with France.
رحبوا معي بالأسطورة الفرنسية مارسيل دوزايي صديق العلامة التجارية أوبلو وحاملي لقب كأس العالم فيفا 98.
Please join. Please join me in welcoming Hublot's friend of the brand and the 1998 FIFA World Cup winner of France, Mr. Marcel Dozelli, as we commence in tonight's celebration.
سبق وان حقق حلما انت وانت وانت تحقيق الاحلام هو عمل وجهد ومثابره هو ما نستيقظ كل صباح من اجله ونسهر الليالي سعيا اليه
and what keeps you up at night
بعض التحديات وتختبر قدرتك
sometimes we may face challenges that test our spirit and to those that say you can't and you won't succeed we say watch just watch us remember that dreams are a journey never easy to achieve but certainly possible a journey that we have been on together for the past 10 years Qatar dreamed of welcoming the world and now our dream is becoming a reality. Every single person who has worked on it, fought for it, and believed in it, can now feel it. Every day, every hour, every minute, and every second, we are getting closer. And here we are. All gathered together, look around you. We are all here to prove one thing and to witness how dreams do come true. Now, are you ready to count down the days? Are you ready now?
سيدات والسادة رحبوا معي من جديد بالسيد دوزيي والكابتن سامي الطرابلسي مدرب نادي السلية القطري ونجم الكرة القطرية عادل خميس سفيري إرثي قطر سينضمون إلينا الآن للكشف عن ساعة العد التنازلي.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back to the stage Mr. Dozayi, accompanied by Captain Sami Tarabelsi, Head of Coach Qatar Stars League and Al Saliya team, and Qatar Legacy Ambassador Adel Khamis for the unveiling of the clock.
Are you ready now?
هذه الساعة المبهرة التي استلهمت من تصميم شعار كأس العالم فيفا قطر 2022 ومن تقاليد الوطن العربي العريقة ستعد الأيام نحو البطولة المرتقبة التي لا يفصلنا عنها سوى 365 يوما من التحديات والإثارة والأمل قبل إطلاق صافرة المباراة الافتتاحية.
Mirroring the FIFA World Cup Qatar 2022, embellished with its time-honored symbolism, our remarkable clock counts down the kickoff of 365 days filled with challenges, excitement, and hope. Your Highnesses, Your Excellencies, distinguished guests, we thank you all for being a part of this incredible moment and this incredible event.
أصحاب السمو وأصحاب السعادة وضيوفنا الكرام نشكر حضوركم لهذه الأمسية الاحتفالية. دعونا الآن نستقبل معالي الشيخ خالد بن خليفة بن عبد العزيز آل ثاني رئيس الوزراء وزير الداخلية وسعادة الشيخ جوعان بن حمد آل ثاني رئيس اللجنة الأولمبية القطرية وسعادة السيد حسن الذوادي الأمين العام للجنة العليا للمشاريع والإرث وأيضا السيد جاني إنفانتينو رئيس الاتحاد الدولي لكرة القدم فيفا ورئيس شركة أوبلو للسعاد ريكاردو غوادالوبي والسيد ناصر بن فهد الخاطر رئيس التنفيذي لبطولة كأس العالم فيفا قطر 2022 والمهندس ياسر عبد الله الجمال رئيس مكتب العمليات نائب رئيس المكتب الفني للمشاريع والسيد خالد علي المولوي الرئيس التنفيذي لتجربة البطولة لأخذ الصور الجماعية.
May we now welcome to the stage our following guests for the official photographs with the trophy and the countdown clock.
have it, the ceremony there to unveil the clock that is now counting down 365 days to kickoff of the 2022 FIFA Football World Cup here in Doha, Qatar. 365 days, but Gemma, there's still a big test event coming up for six of the stadiums in the coming days, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. We have to wait another year for the World Cup, but we don't have to wait as long for the FIFA Arab Cup. That gets underway next Tuesday. And this is really seen as a kind of vital operational trial for the World Cup. Organisers are going to get the chance to test hotels. The teams are staying in, transportation routes, police escorts and just general operational readiness of the stadiums. And six of those stadiums in use for the FIFA Arab Cup will be the World Cup stadiums. Mm-hmm. There are three World Cup stadiums still to be inaugurated. Two of those will be inaugurated at the Arab World Cup next Tuesday on the opening day. We've got Al Bayt. That's going to be inaugurated on Tuesday when Qatar play Bahrain. And then on the same day, Stadium 974. I'll explain in a moment why it's called 974. Mm-hmm. That will also open its doors for the first time when they host United Arab Emirates and Syria. Now, it's called Stadium 974 because it's made out of 974 shipping containers and 974 being the international dialing code for Qatar. So those two stadiums to be in operation next week. And then the final World Cup stadium to be inaugurated will be Lusail Stadium. That's the biggest of all the venues, an 80,000 capacity. That'll be inaugurated in early next year. So, and also, and interestingly, the final of the Arab Cup is on the 18th of December. So it'll be exactly a year to the day that the FIFA World Cup final will be played. So it's going to be interesting to see for the organisers and the fans and everybody involved how the Arab Cup plays out. Well, moving on from the Arab Cup to talking about the World Cup again, and let's bring in AP's global sports correspondent, Rob Harris from London. Rob, thank you for joining us. So I think it's fair to say it was a surprise to many when Qatar was awarded the tournament way back in 2010. And how far has Qatar come since then?
Yeah, it was 11 years ago. I was in Zurich for that huge FIFA vote, not only awarding the 2022 World Cup, but 2018 as well. And certainly when Qatar's name came out of the envelope announced by Sepp Blatter, it really did send shockwaves around world football. Not only the fact the first World Cup to go to the Middle East, beating such big nations in terms of status, perhaps, as well, and, you know, including the United States, but, of course, so small. Never has such a tournament been staged in a country like Qatar, and it required, obviously, such development work, such infrastructure upgrades, and such intrigue over how a country the size of Qatar could host the world's football fans and teams for a tournament, and for FIFA, very much taking football and its main tournament to new frontiers.
And we saw the shots of the FIFA president, Gianni Infantino, earlier. From FIFA's point of view, how significant is it that the tournament is coming to the Middle East for the first time?
Well, obviously, it has been a very fraught decade or so since the awarding of the World Cup. Corruption investigations have taken place into, indeed, many of the bids, of which Qatar was at the centre of the investigations. In the end, FIFA's investigator concluded there was nothing in terms of the conduct that warranted stripping Qatar of the tournament. But then subsequently as well, the challenge caused by the economic and diplomatic boycott of Qatar by the UAE, Saudi Arabia and others posed the challenge to the tournament. Infantino at one stage, though, still wanted to try to spread this tournament beyond Qatar and actually bring in some of the neighbours into the hosting. Logistically, that was not possible. And probably in Infantino, Qatar has found quite a supporter, someone who's acted to defend the tournament, who's particularly highlighted changes to the labour laws that are taking place, with that scrutiny from human rights activists as the country has been developed. Activists still saying, actually, the implementation of some of those reforms needs to go further. But Infantino has certainly spent a lot of time going round the stadiums in recent days as well, in particular. And after the challenges of tournaments like Brazil in 2014, South Africa in 2010, about whether infrastructure would be ready, the fact Qatar could say this weekend that all stadiums are ready, all eight of them, will be a source of assurance for FIFA with 1 year to go.
Absolutely. And Qatar are 51st in the world at the moment, but they are the Asian champions, of course. Should the other countries beware of them this time next year, do you think? I'm thinking maybe perhaps to South Korea in 2002 when they co-hosted with Japan. They, I think, surprised everybody finishing fourth. So do you expect the same kind of thing next year?
Well, certainly the team will be needing that home support, the home lift. It's always a real challenge for a host nation, the fact that they don't necessarily have competitive games in the years building up to the tournament because of qualifying as hosts. What is so unusual about this World Cup is Qatar's debut at the World Cup will be at its home tournament. And there was that astonishing win in the Asian Cup almost 3 years ago now, which would have surprised some people, because one of those things talked about when Qatar did win the bid is, well, it's not a country with football heritage, as was said. Obviously, there has been a league going back many decades and a national team indeed. Qatar has had managed to play more recently in Europe, effectively tagged onto a qualification group featuring Portugal, but the results haven't been that encouraging. At least there was a 2-2 draw with Azerbaijan in the recent internationals, but looking at those games, losing 4-0 to Serbia, 4-0 defeat to Ireland, 3-0 defeat to Portugal, it's a reminder actually of the challenge. But we've seen in so many competitions that the so-called underdog can galvanise themselves to perform. But I don't think this is a World Cup that is necessarily going to be reliant on the host nation doing well, in the sense that it's such a rare opportunity for so many of the world's biggest players and teams to come into Qatar, that actually it should actually get the fans locally coming in. And given the size of the country too, fans will be able to catch games if they can get tickets when their own team isn't necessarily playing, even maybe with a couple of games a day.
And just very quickly, Rob, this will be the first World Cup held in November and December. Didn't go down too well with the European leagues initially. Do you think that's been put to bed now?
Well, there are still some grumbles about the disruption to the European leagues next season, but this was actually agreed in 2015. There were meetings in Doha between FIFA, the leagues and various other officials as well in the game. And the irritation will come from the fact that when Qatar did bid for the World Cup in 2010, it was a June and July tournament, promising air-conditioned stadiums, which have actually been delivered on. We saw them at the World Athletic Championships in particular in 2019. But Qatar didn't have the option of bidding for a Winter World Cup. That became a more realistic option after the vote, and then all sides coming together and actually managing to realistically move the tournament so it's actually better for fans, because although the stadiums would have been air conditioned in June, July, the heat would have been pretty difficult in terms of travelling around the country. But that's the thing facing sport, particularly in the years to come and with climate change too, that there probably needs to be an accommodation to allow countries that can't host a Olympics or a World Cup in their traditional slot to move it around. And the disruption isn't that significant for 1 year to be able to host the tournament in a different region. And maybe for a country like England, who often complain about having to go to a tournament at the end of a grueling season in June, going in November means the players perhaps should be less weary at that point and actually getting to their peak.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your insights there, Rob. Back to nostalgia.
Thanks so much, Gemma.
Good to join.
Well, let's take you live back to the Corniche, where that ceremony has been taking place in terms of the unveiling of the clock. Our correspondent, Dorsa Jabari, is there. Dorsa, we saw alongside FIFA President Gianni Infantino the Qatari royal family there as well. It really seems to reflect just how significant a moment this is for Qatar, and it goes well beyond sports here.
Yes, certainly. This was not an event just for regular people. There was certainly a heavy royal presence. One of the reasons we couldn't move around freely was because of the presence of royal guards here. It shows how important this certainly is for this country. This is a major win for the royal family since they were awarded this event in 2010. Now it's over a decade and they are 1 year away. This was certainly seen as something they were looking forward to. Many, even locals, were looking forward to this. They now have less than a year to go before they will host the World Cup here. We saw a very famous French footballer, Marcel Desailly, who got on stage and kicked a football to start off the clock. He brought the actual trophy of the World Cup and placed it behind me on stage, where it will stay until the tournament is done and is awarded to the next winner, the next country who wins the World Cup in 2022. This is seen as an event that really will put Qatar on the world map even further than it has already. The country has spent $6.5 billion on improving its infrastructure and built seven new stadiums for this event. And they're expecting over a million people to come to this tiny country. Now, just to give you an idea, the smallest country to ever host the World Cup was Switzerland in 1954. And at that time, there were 16 teams taking part in the World Cup. There's now 32 teams, and Qatar will be certainly smaller. It's three times smaller than Switzerland, and they will be hosting 32 teams from around the world. So it's going to be interesting how they will facilitate that number of people, but they've certainly been trying to prepare as much as they can, building hotels at a very rapid rate here, and they hope that it will be enough and accommodate all the people that they will have coming into this country.
Of course. Dorsa, you mentioned the $6.5 billion worth of infrastructure there. That didn't just go to stadiums in Qatar, but a number of other things as well. I also understand that this is supposed to be the greenest World Cup ever. Can you briefly talk us through what's been prepared in terms of getting ready for the tournament?
Certainly, one of the stadiums will actually be completely dismantled and donated to a country that is in need of sporting infrastructure. And aside from that, there will be 170,000 seats from the stadiums they will take apart, and that will also be donated to another country or any of the countries that are in need to improve their sporting infrastructure. There's also the way the stadiums have been built. There's a German firm hired for that, and the Qataris were adamant that there needs to be a sustainability aspect to all of what has happened. Of course, this World Cup is significant because it's the first time the FIFA Federation has agreed to change the time of when this competition is being held. Usually it's held in the summer, but because of the severe weather here, they've moved it to the winter, November and into December. And the stadiums that have been built will all be air-conditioned as well to take in the factor of the temperature in this country. So there's been a lot of attempts by the locals here to try to make it as green as possible.
And everyone clearly getting very, very excited about what's to come. Dorsa Jabari there live for us on the Doha Corniche.